Are you a mum looking for some parenting inspiration, tips and advice, stories on the ups and downs we face in our lives as parents, some humour and a little bit of fun? Then you may have just found what you're looking for. Hi and welcome to the Parenting in the Thick of It show. I'm your host Louise Clark, a certified parent coach known to many as your parenting partner. As a mum to three teenagers, you can bet I've probably been there, done that, and heard it all. Trust me, there'll be few things that I haven't experienced firsthand. I created this podcast because I just love to help mums like you find ways to navigate life in the thick of it and find a way out of it. Today on the show, I'm going to be talking about screen time. I haven't chatted about screen time and the battles we have with it and the struggles and challenges and overwhelm that it causes us for a long, long time. And I think today's the day. And I read an article recently that was written by someone who had interviewed a friend, dear friend and colleague of mine called Cindy Kaplan, who is also a parent coach. And she was quoted in this article and asked for advice for someone who was writing this. And it's called The Epic Screen Time Battle. And I posted it on my Facebook page, Your Parenting Partner. So if you want to actually get the written version of that, hop over onto my Facebook page, Your Parenting Partner, and you will find it there. I posted it this week. That is the week commencing April the 1st. And this is no April Fool. So we hear so much, or we get asked so much of the time, parents do, but how much screen time is too much? Parents ask, how long should my 3-year-old be on a screen for? Or how long should my 7-year-old be playing games for? How long should my teenagers be idly scrolling across Instagram and sitting on Snapchat? And how long is a piece of string? And it's so hard to answer that. There are guidelines for sure. I'm no expert in saying a 2-year-old needs this, a 6-year-old needs that, a 12-year-old needs this, and an 18-year-old needs that. But commonsense.org is a great starting place to get basic information on all sorts of things about screens, the types of games they should play at ages and stages, how long they should be on it at ages and stages. So you can look up that information everywhere. What I want to share with you here is information that perhaps causes you to stop and rethink, to perhaps reset. And so what is too much? Well, you have to look at your child in your home each day being a different day. And each day your child's a different child. On days where they're absolutely exhausted and frazzled and fried, you might think, he's exhausted, overwhelmed. He doesn't need any screens today. Or you might think he's tired because he's been running around playing baseball all afternoon. Sure, he's great with an hour of screens. So I like to advise parents to look at their children in the moment and try and meet those needs in the moment. So looking at how much screen time is too much, but we have to know what too much looks like in our house. And as this parent coach says, she says when she sees that her child has gone days without picking up a book or finding time to practice his music, he's at too much screen time. When a kid isn't getting their homework assignments turned in or the grades are dropping, perhaps there's too much screen time. When face-to-face interactions with you or their siblings or friends is shrinking, maybe there's too much screen time. When a teen doesn't come to the table because they'd rather be on their phone, it's maybe too much screen time. Can you see how these are real situations that happen day to day? And all the situations that happen day to day, they're always different. So you have to look at it. I like to remind parents to look at what their kids are not doing as a result of doing too much online. Just like Cindy said, if there's too much screens, there's not enough music. If there's too much screens, there's not enough connection and family time, maybe board games or conversation. If there's too much screens and they're not at the table. So look at what's not happening. Look at what you would like to see more of. And then ascertain whether or not there's too much screens. So I love that way of looking at it. She looked at the harmful effects of overexposure to screen time. And Victoria Dunkley is an MD and a psychiatrist. And she wrote a book called Reset Your Child's Brain. And she really is super resourceful and super educated with regard to the effect of screens on our child's brains. And she believes that it takes about 4 weeks of a screen fast to reset your brain back to baseline. And actually, according to this article, she often will only test a child or teen for ADHD once the family has engaged in a serious screen detox. And the results that she's seeing are absolutely fascinating. Now remember, a lot of the signs of too much screen time are very, very similar to the signs and symptoms of ADHD. Lack of focus, unable to sit still, overwhelmed, zombie-like. So, looking at this, she's found that many kids who exhibited behaviours of ADHD no longer exhibited them once they took screens off the table. So really fascinating. Cindy also says that she thinks one of the greatest harmful effects of too much screen time is how it takes us away from ourselves and our own thoughts. It's so true. If we're always on a screen, we're always being fed information. If we're fed information, we don't need to think. Thinking is a necessary thing for our brains to do. And when kids always are given solutions on a screen or always watching things, at a loose end, I'll turn on my screen, they never experience the opportunity to be bored. And boredom sparks creativity. So creativity is found in our imaginations. And if we are constantly looking at a screen, it doesn't require us to imagine. Kids don't have to imagine anymore because they can look at all these scenes online. The imagination is done for them. It's also done in a way that is highly addictive and luring, so they want more of it. So kids' imaginations are starved of the opportunity to be imaginative, to dream, to wonder, to be curious, to question, to be lost in thought, to go into your own dream world and construct something. It's all done for them if they're on screens too much. So very, very interesting. The other thing she talks about is, should we, and I have as well, take screens away from kids as a punishment or a consequence? We have to be very careful between the words punishing and consequences, because a lot of consequences actually are just punishments. So it all depends on you, your child, and the individual moment that has brought you to a place where you feel perhaps there's been too much and there needs to be a consequence. And we all know that our kids are so attached to their screens and their phones and their iPads that it's probably the most important thing in their lives. Look at us. It's become one of the most important things in our lives. So to have it taken away from us is huge. So we know as parents, we have a lot of power over our children through their devices, through allowing them to use a device. But if we use it for that, we're going to sever the connection we have with our children. And that's all what we want to do. We want to increase the connection we have with our children. But if we punish them through taking away what they want to be super connected to, it's a double-edged sword. So I don't believe that punishing them by taking the game away or taking the screen away is the right way to go. I think we can be very creative with how we help our children manage it better and how we set boundaries and hold the limits around it. She suggests it's always beneficial to start from a place of curiosity. So rather than saying, no, you cannot have your screen in your room because I don't trust you that you're not going to go on it all the time. And if you do, and I find out that you've been on your phone at night, then I'm taking it away for a month. Versus, you know that your phone cannot stay in your room overnight, but you kept it there last night. I noticed it wasn't on the charging station. You must have had a good reason for it, and I'd really like to know what it is. I love this. This is giving your child the opportunity to share with you why they kept their phone in their room, despite the fact that the house rule might be no phones in your bedroom. So it's being curious. It's asking questions. It's not just going in and presuming the worst. There might be actually good reason for the fact that she had her phone in her room on an odd night. Or you could say, I notice you're having a really hard time turning off this particular video game. What is it about the game that makes it so hard? Get them to tell you. Well, Mum, every time you tell me to get off it, usually if I had another 1 or 2 minutes, the game would be finishing anyway, and then I would be happy to just get off it. But invariably, when you decide I have to get off it, you don't know what I'm doing and you don't know where I am in the game. Well, if my son said that or my daughter said that, I'd be like, you know what? Fair enough. I'd hate for my phone to be ripped out from under me if I was in the middle of it or almost finished something, even worse, almost finished something, acquired whatever I needed to acquire, and I can't quite finish it off. So be open to being flexible within the limits you set, because then your kids will see you as working with them and not working against them all the time. They know we hate the fact that they're on their phones as much. They hate the fact we're on our phones as much. So it's a two-way battle. And I think we have to be really honest with our behavior, our digital behavior, and we have to start by shaping ours into that that we want our children to adopt. Because if we're doing one thing, but we're expecting a different thing from them, it's a very different scene. Now, yes, some of you might say, but I need it for my work. And you do. Your kids understand that. I'm talking about non-work related activities that we do on our screens that we do a lot of on our phones. So I hope that this has sparked your curiosity around how to manage screen time, how much time is too much, what are the harmful effects, and how to talk to your children so that they understand you and they can see where you're coming from. So I think we need to share with them that, share with them our struggles, how hard we find it, and that we're doing it because we know that their brains need more time off screens than on screens. We've not evolved yet into digital, we've not become fully digitized yet. Our brains still need old school ways. But what's happened now is this new school of digital technology has swept in and our brains have not adapted to it yet. Our brains still crave and need real time, real world experience, especially before the prefrontal cortex becomes fully developed, aged but somewhere between 22 and 25. We can't afford for our kids to be on screens as much as they are if we want them to develop the life skills that they need and the competencies they need in their day-to-day activities if they're addicted to a phone. So if you've enjoyed this episode, please do share it on your social media platforms, spread the word, help parents everywhere, help children thrive everywhere. And if you want to hop over onto iTunes and leave a review, I always appreciate that. But I always appreciate you listening. Thank you so much for your support. And thanks again for listening today Till next time, bye for now. That's it for today's episode on the Parenting in the Thick of It show. If you enjoyed the show, please do share it with your friends and family. And remember, if you find yourself stuck in the thick of it and can't see a way out of it, please send me an email. I would love to help you. My email is louise@yourparentingpartner.com. And don't forget to take a look at the Parenting in the Thick of It family organizer that I created. It's an evergreen family calendar guaranteeing 12 months of use from whenever you start. It also includes beautifully illustrated, informative, and interactive monthly parenting theme pages to guide you through the year. It's the perfect organizer for busy families to keep track of all their activities, plus help parents be the best parent they can be. It's more than just a calendar. You can find the link for this and the other social media platforms that I am on below the description in this episode. Thank you so much for listening today, and I look forward to being with you all soon. Bye for now.